are Locked On Giants, your daily San Francisco Giants podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to Locked On Giants Baseball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Caspick, and on this show we provide daily episodes Monday through Friday, approximately 15 to 20 minutes in length, talking about the San Francisco Giants in a way that's data-driven and rational, but also simple, passionate, and accessible to all. Coming up on today's show, we're going to talk about Kevin Gausman accepting the Giants' qualifying offer. So he will be back next year. We'll talk about what the terms are, what it means for the payroll. We'll look at the Giants' payroll in a little bit more detail and talk about the significance. And we'll also talk about the Giants losing one of their 13 coaches to a serious promotion. One of their coaches is being promoted as the pitching coach for the Chicago White Sox. Before we get into it, a little bit about me. I've been a contributor for the baseball analysis sites Beyond the Box Score and Rotographs, which is part of FanGraphs. I started a Giants podcast called Covecast in 2015 and then joined the Locked On Podcast Network prior to the 2019 season. But the story of the day is, of course, Kevin Gausman made his decision, and that decision was to come back to the Giants by accepting the one-year $18.9 million qualifying offer. Now, it needs to be reiterated that this does not mean that they won't work out a multi-year deal at some point. In fact, we saw this as recently as last year with the Chicago White Sox. Jose Abreu accepted the qualifying offer, and then shortly afterwards, they reworked that into a multi-year deal, I think 2 or 3 years. So there have been numerous reports that the Giants made multi-year offers to Kevin Gausman, or at least made a multi-year offer to Kevin Gausman. And so I would imagine that those discussions are ongoing. But in the meantime, Gausman takes that security. He accepts the qualifying offer. No matter what happens, we know he'll be with the team in 2021. So it's great news. Gausman obviously was their best pitcher this year, came over on a one-year $9 million deal with a ton of upside, and he hadn't really reached that potential, except they did see it out of him in the bullpen in Cincinnati in 2019. So they believed in what they saw when he was excellent in the bullpen in 2019, gave him that one-year deal, and he was able to carry that type of dominance over from the bullpen into the starting rotation. So he mostly is a two-pitch guy, fastball splitter. He does mix in an occasional slider. It's a little bit unusual to see a starting pitcher thrive with just primarily two pitches, but Gausman essentially was able to do it in 2020, and I wouldn't bet against him continuing that success in 2021. I want to talk about the payroll implications. So this $18.9 million is no small sum of money for someone like Kevin Gausman, someone who's not, at least historically in his career, been like a star-level player. Now, granted, he kind of pitched like that with the Giants in 2020, and a lot of it looks sustainable. In fact, run prevention-wise, we might even expect him to improve moving forward based on the peripherals. In other words, the dominant strikeout stuff should translate to even better run prevention. But looking at the Giants' payroll, it now stands at an estimated $141 million for 2021, which is exactly what the figure was in 2020. So it makes you think, like, what is their payroll going to be in 2021? If they're already at $141 million, what might they be able to add from here? Worth noting that a lot of that is coming from arbitration. Not that much, actually, but a significant amount is coming from estimated contracts for arbitration-eligible players. And so, of course, if you non-tender a guy here and there, that's a few million dollars saved. But suffice it to say, roughly speaking, the Giants, as they currently stand, figure to be roughly $141 million. You know, you might be able to subtract, shave off, you know, $5 million maybe $10 million tops. But it's interesting to think about how far can they expand that if they're trying to add on top of, you know, bringing back Gausman. And so it's a real strong indication that this ownership group is willing to spend, like to just be willing to give Gausman $19 million means to me they're not going to be penny pinching this winter. At least if an opportunity arises to improve, they're not going to let money stand in the way. Now, the other thing I want to say about payroll is that looking ahead to 2022, this is where it gets really interesting, because after 2021, the Giants only have one player that they're committed to, and that's Evan Longoria. Everyone else is a non-guaranteed contract. There are club options for Cueto, Posey, and Wilmer Flores. Tyler Anderson and Donovan Solano would be set to reach free agency, and then everyone else is either arbitration eligible or still pre-arbitration eligible. And we consider arbitration eligible players non-guaranteed contracts. So that's like the dream for a front office, is to not have commitments holding you back. Obviously, you're comfortable with making commitments to players if they're providing value still, and you think they're still being paid a reasonable price, a price you're comfortable with. But what it means is for Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris, the slate is going to be wiped essentially clean after the 2021 season. And just to give an illustration, as I said, about $141 million committed for 2021. Not committed yet. Like I said, about $15 million or so is non-guaranteed through arbitration, and then more non-guaranteed through league minimum salaries, pre-arbitration. But $141 million this year. But moving to 2022, they're only committed to about $23 million. So just a massive drop-off. And so I think this is part of what is allowing the Giants to be comfortable spending now, knowing that there's no guaranteed spending really starting next year. So we'll wrap up this discussion in the second half of the show and also talk about the Giants losing one of their coaches to become the new pitching coach for the Chicago White Sox. All right, as promised, want to just wrap up this discussion about the Giants payroll and then talk about the Giants losing one of their coaches to become the new pitching coach for the Chicago White Sox. But it can't be overstated how significant it is that after 2021, the Giants are really not committed to anybody, only Evan Longoria, and then that would be the last year of his contract. Johnny Cueto has a $5 million buyout after 2021. Buster Posey has a $3 million buyout. Wilmer Flores has a $250,000 buyout with a $3.5 million club option, I should say. For Posey, it's a $22 million club option, and it actually is the same for Cueto. So you can just pretty much guarantee those will be declined. Neither player appears to be worth $22 million anymore. And then Gausman will be a free agent. Belt and Crawford will be free agents. Tyler Anderson, assuming he's brought back through arbitration this year, will be a free agent, as will Donovan Solano. Dickerson, Ruff, Harleen Garcia, Wandy Peralta, Trevor Gott, Reyes Maranta, Austin Slater, they'll all be arbitration eligible again. Mauricio Dubon, Mike Yastrzemski, Sam Selman, Tyler Rogers, Joey Bart, and others will be pre-arbitration eligible still. So they can be retained, but the Giants are not committed to making that retention. And so that's the place you want to be. This is the quote-unquote flexibility that teams covet. And I know a lot of people are kind of critical of that term, and they think that, you know, payroll flexibility is just a made-up thing and teams should just spend whatever it takes to get better at all times. But that's not really living in the real world, in my opinion. Teams have, you know, budgets, and they have certain amounts of money that ownership is willing to spend. And so if you have that limit and you're a front office, you have to work within those constraints. And so historically, the Giants' limit seems to be around $200 million, because that's when you start bumping up against the luxury tax, and teams don't like to deal with the luxury tax, especially if you're a repeat offender, it gets worse and worse. So all that to say, the Giants being at $141 million now, I think it's safe to say they don't want to go beyond $200 million for, you know, one season. So another $60 million for the 1 year would probably be the upper limit. I don't think they're going to approach anything near $200 million, but I would imagine they have at least another, you know, $20, $40 million that they're willing to spend if it dramatically improves their team. And again, that's for the one season. It doesn't mean, like, you can still give Trevor Bauer $150 million, for example, but you're not paying all of that in 1 year. You're spreading it out. And so what are you paying him in 2021? That's the question we're talking about. But then to have no commitments starting in 2022, except Evan Longoria, is just going to start to put them in a really good position. And it's going to be, from then on out, it's going to be a team entirely created in Farhan Zaidi and Scott Harris's vision. And so that's the dream, and that's kind of where they've gotten finally. So that's part of why the future is so bright for the Giants. That, coupled with a willingness to spend money so they'll be able to make signings, and then a really strong farm system that's going to start funneling talent to the major league level, they're starting to look to be in a really good position. So lastly, I do want to talk about the Giants losing Ethan Katz to the Chicago White Sox. He's going to become their new pitching coach. So congratulations to Ethan Katz. But this means a lot of things. Number one, it means that for all the scorn and criticism that Gabe Kapler took for that coaching staff that he announced that was bigger than usual and more inexperienced in terms of major league experience than usual, the fact that they immediately lose one of their assistant pitching coaches to become the pitching coach for a really talented team tells you everything you need to know. That in the industry, people see that what the Giants have been able to do in just 1 year and how this coaching staff has made a positive impact. Kevin Gausman praised Ethan Katz. And this is not even to mention the hitting coaches. I wouldn't be surprised if, whether it's this year or next year or whenever, the Giants are going to start to lose some of their assistant hitting coaches. They have three hitting coaches. They're going to lose somebody to become the primary hitting coach somewhere else. It's just bound to happen, given how much of an impact they seem to have just in 1 year. So hopefully this is an indication and fans can start to understand, especially fans that were critical of these hires, that in fact, the Giants are going in the right direction on multiple levels, including at the coaching staff level. And as Alex Pavlovich mentioned in a piece today, when the Giants were interviewing for manager, Gabe Kapler had by far the most detailed plans for how to put together his coaching staff. And that must have been part of the appeal of Kapler, especially because, as we've seen, a coaching staff can have a huge impact. I mean, for a long time, they didn't really have a huge impact. We used to say hitting coaches don't really do anything. You can't blame the hitting coach for the performance of the hitters. Well, those days are over. Now, hitting coaches do a lot, and so do pitching coaches, for that matter. Also worth mentioning, under the old regime and the old coaching staff under Bochy, they didn't lose anybody for any major roles. And so in year one under Gabe Kapler and his coaching staff, they lose one of their assistant coaches for a major role with another team. I think that tells you something. So anyway, that kind of sums it up. It was a lot to discuss. Really happy Kevin Gausman is coming back. I don't know if I made that clear, but I think it's a huge step in this offseason because he was one of the best starters available in free agency, and it's great to have him locked up. All right, that is all the time we have for today. Remember to get this show every weekday. Please hit that subscribe button if you haven't done so already. We'll be doing a mailbag tomorrow, Friday mailbag, so look out on Twitter for the prompt. You can follow me there at Ben Kaspic. That's Kaspick. If you enjoyed the show, please consider rating it or leaving a review in the Apple Podcast Store. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.